the scenes with Smashville's favorite team. This is the Preds Official Podcast with Darren McFarland and Kara Hammer. Now on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and NashvillePredators.com.
And a happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And yes, welcome into the Predators Official Podcast. I just let the cat out of the bag. Now you know what day we're recording this on. Darren McFarland and Kara Hammer here with you. Phil Tomasino will join us in just a bit. We are looking forward to catching up with him as he played his 15th game this season with the Preds last night in their tough loss against Chicago. Kara, how we doing?
I'm good. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a green day for me. I've got some Irish in my blood, so, you know, I feel like I need to participate.
I thought you were going to say a blue day after looking at your March Madness bracket.
Oh, well, actually, it's a red day. It's the red marker with X's for all the wrong picks.
Yeah. Is there anything white on that sheet?
I got a couple right, but, man, they were few and far between. Do you do brackets or a bracket?
Oh, I do the brackets, but yeah. I'm a little beef with my bracket pull right now because I am a big believer that you should fill out one bracket.
Yep, me too. I only do one. If I do more, then I fill out the same one. Like, I will only submit one bracket, right? I'm not going to change up the games.
Yeah. So you're not the guy in my pool who filled out eight brackets with eight different team winners.
Not me. Like the 50-50 games, because that's what people do, right? I didn't change that. Mm-hmm. I'm not changing the games. You can't change the games. Change your picks. So the 50-50 games where you're just really unsure, you feel like it's a coin toss. No, I don't do one bracket and pick one team and do another bracket and pick the other team. No, and there are people who do that, and I am staunchly against that, like you, Kara.
All right, we are against it, but we are for hockey. In this big matchup against Winnipeg?
Yes. Hopefully the weather will be... Well, it's going to be cold. It's going to feel like hockey Saturday against Winnipeg. Good news is it's inside, but outside it's going to feel like hockey because the weather is... it was so nice on Thursday, and it's just gone to crap for the next, like, 4 or 5 days.
No. But we have matinee hockey, and the best thing about this is, like, you wake up, you eat your eggs, you punch somebody... You do a game, and then you have the night off.
Is that the Peter Laviolette? Who, remember, we've talked about this on the POP.
We talked about this.
Was this Lavi?
Peter Laviolette. Yeah. It's me and Lindsay's favorite quote. Lindsay and I's favorite quote. Wake up, eat your eggs, and punch somebody.
Yeah, I think Hal Gill has kind of had the same saying with eggs, but it ends up reverting to kegs. You know, something with eggs and then kegs and, you know, I don't know. That sounded like a fraternity thing when I was in college. that's a true story, Kara. That is growing up in Lexington, Kentucky. We didn't grow up with hockey. We just got their first sheets of ice when I was in college, and it was for the Cool Cats, which was the Kentucky hockey team, and they played their games on Friday and Saturday nights. And a buddy of mine who was from Owensboro, Kentucky. His name is Jeff Rouse. He is now a pilot for Delta. He was a hardcore hockey player, and that's what got me hooked on hockey because I didn't grow up in a hockey market. Yeah. And we used to go to the games on Friday and Saturday nights because they played, Kara, at midnight on Friday and Saturday nights. So what do you do in college? You go have a whole lot of fun at a party or whatever, and then you go party at a Cool Cats hockey game. And that's what we did religiously when I was in. And that's what got me started down the, you know, the hockey path. That's where it all started.
That was a long time ago.
But yes, that started my love for hockey. We had so, and it was packed. It was absolute. Their games were always sold out, standing room only. Packed and loud, and as you can imagine, a lot of people had encouragement to be loud because they had, you know, some things running through their veins.
I would love to know some if liquid. Any other podcast listeners for the POP have been to a Cool Cats hockey game.
I don't know. That's a great question. I would love to know.
Yes, if you have.
And thank goodness for Facebook. I would have never known Jeff Rouse is now this, you know, distinguished pilot. You know, he's a commercial airline pilot. Who knew? He wanted to be a hockey player. I know that. But you know what? If you can't be a professional hockey player, that's not a bad gig, right? Being a commercial airline pilot, that's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Maybe he should fly the private charter for the Preds one day. Maybe that could happen.
Well, you know what's on that private charter? Food. We were talking with Luke Evangelista, and he said the biggest thing for him was the food.
Absolutely. And I hosted Smashville Live Wednesday night in Cool Springs with Pete Weber, and our special guests were Igor Afanasyev and Luke Evangelista, who joined us, of course, on the podcast. And Kara, there is a new layer to Luke's story on your question of welcome to the NHL. Is it welcome to the NHL moment? Here's his extra layer that he forgot to bring up to us last week, but he would like to add.
I didn't even tell you this last week, but yeah. the last, I go, Igor texted me, hey, like, congrats on making your debut, like, I'll be watching tonight, and I said, thanks a lot, I appreciate it, and then he said, oh, and one more thing, make sure you get a hit on Malkin for me. That was the last text he sent me before the game, and so then that night, yeah, obviously I went out and got a big hit on him there, and then was getting chirped by Sidney Crosby on the bench after. So, yeah, did a little bit of everything there.
How about that? Igor Afanasyev sent him a text on his first, getting to play in his first NHL game and said, get a hit on Malkin for me.
How crazy is that? Do you think that was in the back of his mind when he came around the ice and caught him behind the net like that?
I think looking at the body language of Luke Wednesday night, I think so, Kara. I think so. But by the way, that was Russian on Russian crime right there, that text, right? You got to love that. The veteran Malkin and Igor Afanasyev, which, by the way, is a treat. I don't know how much time you've been able to, and I know he just got sent back to Milwaukee, and he got to, log three games in the league. I hope he turns into a special player for the Predators. I'm rooting for him. He has got such the personality. And by the way, he's a huge guy. I'm 6'4", he's 6'4". He is a big guy and just a great personality. And his English is fantastic. That's the tricky part, right? You never know, especially with the Russian guys. You never know. His English is spectacular.
Yeah. I feel like all these young guys that have come up, Darren, have just brought this new energy to the team. We've talked about it numerous times on the podcast. You know, I know throughout the broadcast, Willie and Chris Mason talk about that a weight has been lifted off the shoulders. So the team is just playing a little bit different. I think it's a combination of that, but then just the youthfulness. These 21-year-old guys come up and they're, you know, just living out their dreams, fighting for the opportunity and having fun doing it.
I think that is certainly in play, right? Like, how could you not think that's in play? And by the way, a lot of the themed questions that we're getting are about that on the hashtag AskPOP that we'll get to in the final segment. It is about, you know, how much energy, how much has this kind of changed the dynamic, these young guys in the room? And, oh, by the way, after the trade deadline, nobody was picking the Predators to make the playoffs anymore. All the pressure was off, right? Uh-huh. And now they're just loose and free and going and playing their game, and it's working. Tough one last night in the loss to Chicago at Bridgestone Arena, but they're still 8-3-1 in their last 12 games. So they're right in the thick of things. This game on Saturday is huge. They're 4 points out from that final spot in the playoffs. And if they would have won last night, Winnipeg lost to Boston. They could have been in the playoffs after the game on Saturday. That will not be the case now, but they can inch a little bit closer.
There's still a chance. I think one thing I kept feeling, Darren, is you think about the core group of this team. And before the trade deadline, you know, you would have put together Josi, Ekholm, these veteran players. But now you look at these guys coming up from Milwaukee who are their own core group that are playing together. And then it almost feels like Roman Josi is just kind of, he's the outside player on the core group now because these guys have come up with so much familiarity amongst each other.
And we talked about that Wednesday night because, I asked them, how refreshing is it to look around the room and have familiar faces. You've left Milwaukee. You're now in the National Hockey League. You expect to know no one, right, for the most part. And you look around, and that's not the case at all. You actually know a lot of these guys, right? Kevin Gravel, who just got called up, too. He's a guy that's been playing with them in Milwaukee. You talk about Tommy Novak. By the way, if there's a bucket of water anywhere near the locker room, do not throw it on Tommy Novak. He is on fire right now. This guy, they do not need him to cool down, right? They need him for the stretch run. What an incredible story he's been, Tommy Novak.
He didn't even have a celly after the last goal. I thought it was funny that Skillsy said he's comfortable scoring goals. He doesn't even need celebration.
He is... Yeah, I mean, you're talking about going about your business. They say act like you've been there before. He's acting like he's been there before.
It's fun hockey right now.
It really is. It's rejuvenated, I think, everybody. It's rejuvenated the room. It's rejuvenated the fan base. It's rejuvenated people covering the team. Right now, this is, and if they can find a way here in this stretch to punch their ticket in, I think it is going to be really interesting to see what this team do. Because here's the thing, Kara. Here's the thing nobody's really talking about. Last year, we knew there was a juggernaut, okay? Everybody knew there was a two-ton elephant in the room in the Western Conference. And they were in Denver, Colorado. And they go by the Avalanche. And they ended up being the two-ton elephant mowing through everybody in the playoffs last year and winning the whole thing. There isn't that this year. There is no juggernaut. All the juggernauts are in the Eastern Conference. Are there good teams in the West? Yeah, there's good teams, of course. Are there juggernauts? Not in my opinion, there aren't. So to me, I kind of feel like the West is wide open, where we all knew last year, like, everything is going to go through Colorado. It's Colorado's to lose. Didn't mean they were going to win it, but we knew it was theirs to lose, and they didn't. I don't have that feeling this year.
No. And I feel like you look at the Preds and, you know, maybe it's the theme of March Madness right now, but you almost feel like they could be the Cinderella story. They're the underdogs. They have absolutely nothing to lose right now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And again, if they can find a way to get into the playoffs, man, I think it is going to be electric. In the building, it's been kind of a roller coaster all year, right? Expectations, not fulfilling expectations. The announcement with David Poyle and the general manager and how that was going to be addressed. By the way, I think that is also probably in play with this. But look, there's going to be a new boss, and everybody knows who out there listening who works. And when there's a new boss coming in, it changes things in the office place, right? Because you know there's someone coming in that doesn't really know you, even though Barry Trotz is a familiar face and a name to the fan base, to the media, everybody. But these guys, they don't know Barry Trotz, the general manager. Barry Trotz has been a longtime head coach in the league, and there's very few guys on this team. Well, Roman, I guess now that Matias is gone, right, there's hardly anybody who's ever played for him, so nobody can really recall that. And so that also perks everybody up, too. I think that dynamic is in play as well. But if they can find a way to get in, I think this fan base, I think Bridgestone Arena is going to be rocking. And they may will them to some playoff wins. Who knows? Maybe even a series win. I think it's fascinating. I think a lot of people feel that way, too. That's the vibe I get from the Preds fans that I talk to.
I agree. And I think this game against Winnipeg, I mean, it is massive.
Yep. Massive. The return of Nino Niederreiter.
Nino.
I liked Nino. I know he wasn't here very long, but I really liked him. I thought he was a good guy, and he was productive when he was here. He just wasn't here very long.
I feel like we saw a lot of Nino when he played for the Hurricanes, you know,
yes.
When we had our little COVID schedule, and we were constantly playing Carolina. And so, you know, you felt like you just were watching Nino Niederreiter all the time, and then it was fun to have him here with the Preds, but it'd be interesting to see how things all shake out now against the Jets.
I think that season, Kara, the COVID season, the, you know, reconfigured COVID divisions, counting preseason, didn't they see Carolina, what, like 15 or 16 times? counting them, because they even played them in preseason. What, eight regular season games? What, a six-game playoff series? And then I think there were one or two preseason games. So you're right that we did see Nino Niederreiter with the Canes a lot that year. But he'll be in the building along with Winnipeg. No love lost for that team with the fan base. So it's going to be electric on Saturday afternoon. All right, we've got Phil Tomasino ready to talk with us, and we're going to talk with him. And we will do that next here on the Predators Official Podcast. Back here on the Predators Official Podcast, Darren McFarland and Kara Hammer here with you. We told you we would catch up with Preds player Phil Tomasino. He now joins us on this gorgeous St. Patrick's Day. We are recording this on a Friday, and if you know what the weather's like on this Friday, at least currently while we're recording this, it's not nice. That was sarcasm. Phil, how we doing?
Great, great. You guys?
Glad you're not doing an outdoor game today.
Yeah, it's been really nice the last few days, though. So we've had some nice weather. So it's okay, one day.
No doubt about it. So how's it feel to be back in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, it feels great. Obviously, I think, we've been feeling pretty good about ourselves, kind of ever since I've been back, especially myself. And it's just been a lot of fun, man. I mean, I think we're all having a good time. And obviously right now it's a pretty important time of the year. So it's just awesome. So,
well, you guys have definitely infused new life back into the fan base. Heck, you've infused new life back into everybody, including, you guys are fun to watch. And I mean, we ask listeners and fans to submit their questions, and it is literally most of them, Phil, sifting through them, are just about the young guys, the energy, young guys. And you even have your head coach, John Hines. I mean, he keeps throwing out hunger and hunting. I mean, that says a lot about the way you guys are playing right now. So what's it like in that room right now as you guys are going through? I know it was a tough one last night. You drop one to Chicago, but heck, you're still 8-3-1 in your last 12.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, obviously there's a lot of new faces, and I think we've kind of all dealt with a lot of stuff, especially, the trade deadline and all that stuff. But like you said, I think it's just a great opportunity right now for a lot of the younger guys, especially, right, coming in and kind of getting that experience. And like I said, I think we're all just having fun, and we're all competing hard for each other. I mean, that's the main thing, right? I think you look at us and our willingness to compete and battle for each other, whether it's blocking shots or, along the boards, making that extra play for the team. I think everyone's just doing everything they can right now to help our team win. And it's just so fun to be a part of. Obviously last night wasn't the result we wanted, but we have a huge, obviously a huge game tomorrow, right? So,
yeah.
But it's awesome, man. I mean, it's cool. I mean, a lot of the guys are around my age as well. So it's a lot of fun to be here. And obviously the older guys have been awesome as always, and just so supportive to all of us. And it's just a great group to be a part of, for sure.
All right, don't laugh at this question, because you just said a lot of guys around your age. I hosted Smashville Live Wednesday night in Cool Springs with Pete Weber, and our very special guests were Igor Afanasyev and Luke Evangelista. Luke also joined us last week on the POP. You guys are all the same age, but I mean, you look around, do you feel like a veteran, Phil? I mean, you had 76 games last year. You got 15 under your belt. You're like, hey, yeah, we may be the same age, but man, I got skins on the wall in this league.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that obviously have a lot more experience than me on our team, but no, listen, I think we're all continuing to try and grow in our game, and, whether it's from around the outside the rink or at the rink. I think just learning from all the older guys, I think, like I said, we have such a great group of veterans and leaders on our team that I think we can all, learn a lot from. And but it's cool that, like you said, those guys especially, I've kind of known those guys for a while, and obviously playing against them, back home and growing up. So it's a lot of fun, man, but it's awesome. I think, like I said, it's really cool to have those guys, in our lineup. And we're all, like I said, we're all competing hard for each other, and we're all, I think we're all doing a pretty good job. So it's been a lot of fun.
Besides your play on the ice, can I just be totally honest? And Kara can relate to this. I think what is so cool about you guys is I just love not only are you you're good hockey players, and hopefully you're going to turn to great hockey players for this organization and guys that are going to be around a long time. You're just also fun to deal with. Like I even last year, that whole, you know, the whole year, and I got to know you back even before that when you were still just a pup trying to get to the league, right? And a high draft pick and coming in here in training camp. But you guys have great Igor and Luke have great personalities. You are in the same category. You're so easy to root for.
I appreciate I definitely appreciate that. But I mean, I think that's kind of just the new, kind of the new age. I think sometimes, the older guys sometimes make fun of the younger guys for that kind of stuff. But listen, I think, from my personal experiences, just try to enjoy every moment. Right. And I think that's why, all the young guys, you know, especially I think us three are just all having such a good time and trying to enjoy every moment, just because, obviously don't know what can happen in the future. Right. And, I think it just goes to show how important each day is, and then you can't take it for granted. I think that's just why we're having such a good time right now. And I think, we're having a lot of fun with it. So I think that, just goes to show how especially those two guys are pretty, pretty cool dudes. So I love, definitely love being around those guys for sure.
Last year, having to do a lot of the intermission, having to do the intermission hits, and you were always so nice to do those. Kara has to do intermission hits. She's got to do the interviews too on the TV side. And I'll just let you and everybody listen to this a little inside. Not that's a big deal, but I mean, just to show you, I'm not BSing on this. I used to, every time you would come on, when we got done with the interview, even whether it's things are going well or things weren't going well, as you know, it doesn't always go your way. You may be down when you're doing these hits. I would always text either Nick or Kevin or both and say, man, he's the man. I always appreciate you coming on, because you, again, even if things weren't going your way, you were able to, talk through what was going on and what it was going to take to get you guys back in it.
No, I really appreciate that. But, I think my mentality has always been, I think there's hockey's a huge part of our lives. Right. But I think there's obviously so much more that goes into our lives. So, I think, like I said, try to enjoy every moment, whether it's the ups and downs. I think you're going to have to go through adversity, as a team and individually. So I think it's important just to stay even keel and stay positive throughout, kind of everything, right? I think even, this year kind of had a little bit of a different year, but I think, like I said, my mentality was just to stay positive, and I think everything has worked out, and I think that's kind of just been my mentality throughout my kind of my whole career. But I really appreciate those words. It means a lot. So
last week when we had Luke on the podcast, he talked about how Matt Duchene has kind of taken him under his wing since he's come up. When you got the call up, was there a veteran player that kind of led you along the way?
Obviously being here last year, I think that was more so last year. I think, Johansson, I think Duchene, Forsberg, especially, I think those guys really helped me. Last year was obviously my first year and I kind of didn't really know anything. I think this year when I came back, kind of had a better sense of everything going on, and, kind of felt, I don't want to say more part of the team, but I kind of knew how everything works. So, but obviously I think those guys have still been great, whether it's giving me advice or, anything. I can always go to those guys for help. And, they're always, like I said, it's just, we have such a great leadership group in general, and I can always go to any one of those guys, but I think just they've all been so important to me so far in my career here. And, I'm really, really grateful for everything they've done for me, for sure.
We always joke about the welcome to the NHL moment. Luke, obviously coming up, he had that hit against Malkin, but he said the biggest difference between the AHL and the NHL is the amount of food. So I'm curious for you, when you got up here and you were in Nashville, what was the one thing that made you say, crap, I'm here, I'm playing in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, definitely the food. I have to agree with the food for sure. That's that's a big thing. We all eat a lot. So that's a big part of it. But no, listen, I think, both leagues are great, right? Listen, whether you get the chance to play in the AHL or NHL, you're playing hockey for a living. So I think you have to be grateful. But I think the main thing for me would also have to be the food. Listen, we're probably two of the biggest eaters on our team. So I think that probably have to go with him as well on that one. So
Igor couldn't stop talking about the sushi. Clearly, he loves sushi because Wednesday night, he also gravitated to the food topic.
Yeah, well, we went to some West Coast teams, right, on that trip. So there were some pretty good sushi spots there. So I think he got treated to the sushi pretty early on. So that was kind of a nice treat for all of us. But yeah, the sushi's pretty good. I think he's a big fan of it now for sure.
Vancouver's got some nice restaurants. I have to believe the sushi is outstanding in Vancouver.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, I think it's one of the best spots. But we went for sushi a lot on that road trip. Just like I said, because we're on the West Coast and you kind of can't compete, you know, with sushi there to anywhere else. So it was pretty good. But I think we've had enough for a while now. It's been we've had a lot of fish recently. So
it's March Madness. Are you a guy? Do you fill out the bracket? I mean, do you follow other sports or is it just hockey for you?
You know what? I don't actually. I'm not, I know I'm going to lose, so I don't like to do stuff that I know I'm going to lose at. So I don't bother filling in. I think I'll watch it once it gets later on in the tournament, but I've become a pretty big golf fan. I don't follow it intensely, but honestly, I'm kind of all my attention is on hockey and a lot of Xbox outside the rink, but other than that, just pretty chill for sure. So
a little tip, Phil, the less you know, honestly, in these brackets, probably the better off you are.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think I feel like if I guessed it, I'd probably get better than if I actually try to look at it. But I'll be throwing my money away if I try to make a bracket. So I don't bother there. So.
So a golf guy, I guess who would be your dream golf team?
Ooh, I want to hear this.
Like foursome?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I feel like I don't know too much about it, but I think obviously everyone would say Tiger Woods. I mean, I think I watched that full swing series on Netflix there. I think I'm a big fan of, I mean, I feel like DJ would be pretty cool. I don't know how he is. Like, I feel like he'd just be a pretty interesting cat to play with. And I don't know. I mean, maybe like Rory. I like Rory's attitude. So I would say probably those three guys. But honestly, just based off watching that series, I'd probably have to say those three guys. So
you need to get to
like the best show.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
Well done. It's good. You need to get to know Brant Snedeker, yeah. Nashvillian, who is a huge Preds fan. Huge Preds fan.
Yeah, I feel like there's a couple of guys actually that I know. I think there's actually a couple other PGA players that maybe live here in the summer as well. So hopefully one of these days I'll get to. So,
and maybe we'll get a tour here one day and you can go hang out. Yeah, hopefully. Right? That would be fun.
Hopefully. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Huge tilt tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. That was my question. Why did I say tomorrow night? Tomorrow afternoon, a little matinee hockey at Bridgestone Arena. 1 o'clock against Winnipeg. This is a massive game, obviously, division rivalry game, a lot on the line, a team that's right in front of you in the standings. You're trying to get to their spot. One, before we talk about that matchup, what do you think about matinee hockey? How do you like matinee hockey? Us covering it, love it, especially Saturday games. So how do players feel about it? Because you guys are creatures of habit, and you're changing up your routine. Do you like it or not like it?
Yeah, I think I've always been a fan of the early games, honestly, even growing up.
Really?
When I would have hockey tournaments and we had games at 8, 9 o'clock, I always felt good when I played in those. But yeah, sometimes it's a little tough. I mean, when you get in a routine, you know, especially your eating habits, sometimes it's hard because I don't know if I want to eat pasta at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 1 o'clock game, but you know, I love it. I think it's great for the fans. I mean, the fans love it, especially on a Saturday. I mean, you know, come to Bridgestone for 1 o'clock, watch the game and you know, enjoy your night afterwards. Right. So I love it. And like you said, it's a big game. So I think it's going to be a great, great building tomorrow. I feel like it's going to be rocking for sure.
No doubt about it. Phil Tomasino on the line with us here on the Predators official podcast. So how do you not let what's in front of you? Look, every game is precious, right? At this stretch, you're getting into late March. The regular season is winding down and you're chasing the team you're playing on Saturday. How do you not let that moment get too big for you guys? You know, the old saying, you know, tighten it, you know, that grip, you don't want it to be too tight on that stick. So, you know, how are you guys going to approach this tomorrow?
Honestly, I think you have to look at it more about ourselves and how we can improve our game, especially from last game. I mean, you know, obviously the last two games, I don't think we've scored as much as we would like to. I think just finding new ways to kind of generate more offense. I think that's a big part of it. I think we've played pretty well, you know, kind of from their blue line back to our end. I think we've been pretty solid. And I think if we can generate some more chances, then we'll obviously put the puck in the back of the net more, and we'll have more momentum. But honestly, I think it's just more about ourselves. Obviously, they're a great team, and like you said, it's going to be a fun game to play in. But I think if we focus on ourselves and some ways we can improve our game, then I think that will put us in the best spot to win tomorrow's game for sure.
Talking about your game, Phil, I remember your first NHL game and your parents were in the building. I actually ended up talking with your dad while you were skating out on the ice, and he was kind of coaching along the way while sitting from the stands. How much does your parents still call? I mean, is your dad still calling and giving you advice after the game, or is he kind of taking a backseat as a coach and still just a fan?
Yeah, I mean, actually, speaking of my dad's actually here with me right now for the week, so that's actually funny that you brought that up. But no, they've been so supportive. I mean, my whole career. I mean, for anything, I think just whether it's about hockey or anything, obviously they've always been there for me, and you know, I'm so grateful for everything they've done. But yeah, I think he's always still giving me some pointers for sure. But I think he's laid back a little bit for. In that sense. But no, listen, they obviously want the best for me. And no, I think they're doing everything they can to help me. And I'm really, really thankful for that. And I still talk to them almost every day. So we have a great relationship. And like I said, I'm really, really grateful for everything they've done for me, both of them.
Speaking of that, did you lean on dad whenever, you know, you played 76 games last year and you have to learn out of camp and preseason that you're going back to Milwaukee? Did you have to lean on dad to deal with that mentally?
Yeah, I think, no, like I said, I talked to my parents a lot, and they're always there to support me. And I think that was just more, kind of me trying to figure out my game a little bit more, and ways that I can improve, and especially my overall game. I think that was kind of the main message for the reasoning I was there. So, but listen, looking back, and I think it was great for me to go through that. I think I've come out a better player in person, and I've learned a lot. And you know, I'm kind of happy that, you know, things obviously, you know, maybe didn't go the way I had expected it at the beginning of the year. But like I said, I always try to look at things from a positive point of view, and I think it's definitely helped me in the long run. But they've like I said, they've both always been there for me, and they've always supported me. But I think that was kind of just, kind of myself having to look myself in the mirror and kind of just try to find ways to improve everything else. So it was a long ride, but we're here now, and it's we're like I said, we're enjoying every moment for sure.
And since you've been back, you've played 15 games, and so going back to that to get to this point, what did they tell you needed to work on? What were they looking more from you for you to be a regular at the NHL level? What was that conversation? Because you're still just 20, that we lose sight of all this, right? You're still just 21 years old. So what did they want you to work on in Milwaukee to get better at so you can come here and stay?
Yeah, I think the main thing for me was, I think my defensive game has always been something that I think has needed work. And, you know, I think that was kind of the main thing for me. And obviously I stressed, you know, I worked on it a lot, and kind of that was my focus when I went down there, was to improve my defensive game, because I feel like I'm, I'm a pretty good offensive player, and I feel like I can make plays at this level. But I think that was the thing that was kind of hurting my game. And now I feel like I'm confident in myself to be put in those situations. And, you know, to be, you know, if we're stuck in our zone, I'm not, you know, stressing about, you know, where to be. I think I'm more comfortable in those situations. And I think that's a lot of credit to our staff in Milwaukee for helping me, and, you know, lots of video and lots of talk and just everything. But like I said, I think I've come out a better player, and I'm really grateful for everything they did for me, for sure.
So you're back, and not only are you back, you're playing on the top line with Cody Glass and Matt Duchene. What has that been like?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, I think last game we had a few grade A chances we didn't bury on, but no, listen, I think we can all generate a little bit more offense. But I think, you know, especially that Anaheim game, I think we did really well, and we were creating, you know, a lot more, you know, a lot of chances. And but I think something is bound, you know, it's bound to happen where, you know, maybe it goes off one of our foot and goes in, and I think we start rolling. But no, they're obviously two amazing players, and I think we connect pretty well. So hopefully tomorrow is a big night, a big day for all of us, for sure.
Couple more before we get out of here, Phil. So the trade deadline, obviously a lot of faces left and some faces that have been here for a long time. Like I said, you played the whole season last year, so you got to, you know, you got to be in that room and travel and be around Matthias Ekholm, who had been here his entire career. You think about the time you've logged with Tanner Jeannot, even a guy like Mikael Granlund. Those guys in particular, what did you learn from them? You know, what was it like being around them all of last year? And like I said, even Tanner Jeannot, at both places, you were able to log some ice time with him. And unfortunately, they were traded away.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, I think when you look at Ekki and Granny, just two great guys off the ice. And obviously veterans who have been in the league for a while. So I learned a ton from them, especially at the rink, kind of just their habits daily, and just watch them and learn from them. And obviously, like you said, you know, Tanner, you know, he was kind of texting me throughout the year, and really, really supportive. And he was really, I think, one of those guys I really lean to for advice, just because he kind of went through it all, right? And he's just such a great person, and obviously he's an amazing player. So you know, that was tough for me, I think, you know, seeing him go, just because I love the way he plays. I love the way the person he is. I love everything he stands for. So that one really hurt for sure. But you know, I think like we talked about earlier, I think at the same time, you know, it's you know, we've given, you know, now there's kind of more opportunities for some other guys to come in and hopefully, you know, they'll step up and you know, become great players for us. So like I said, it was a tough situation for myself, just because of, as well, just because I've kind of never really been through that. And seeing those guys go was tough, but I think, look, you know, it's going to be, I think, like I said, it's going to be a fun rest of the year, and I'm excited for the future of our team as well, for sure.
Okay, on the way out, we ask for questions, and we get fun questions to hashtag AskPOP, and here's a fun one, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but there is no wrong answer, so you literally just take this however you want, okay? But because I really thought it was an interesting question. Kara and I will try to tackle it a little bit later here in the podcast. So this is from Nolan. And Phil, Nolan wants to know, if you could customize your own goalie mask, and I know none of us are goalies, but if you could customize your own goalie mask, what would you put on it? What would be your theme? It is, isn't it?
I don't know what my theme would be. I think it would have to be something with my family.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I think I'm really close to my grandparents, so maybe my grandparents' birthdays, maybe a cross. Obviously, I'm Catholic. I wouldn't say I'm the most religious person, but I think that would be a nice gesture. I mean, other than that, I can't really think of anything else. I always see our goalies customizing their pads and helmets, and I kind of wish I got the chance to do that. So, but honestly, those are like the two main things.
Okay.
I think our logo would have to be there.
Yeah.
Other than that, maybe something really funky. I'd have to look at other goalies and see what they do. Just do something absurd. But that'd be that would be really fun if I ever got the opportunity to do that for sure.
So. Yeah. Well, you're fun to play along with that. That's kind of, it's a really cool question, but you have to put some thought into it, don't you? And so you did a good job. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, listen, I would love, I think as a player, I would love to customize a stick or skates. I think that would be really, really cool. I think you look at like a guy like Matthews kind of has his own kind of style. I really like that. So hopefully one day I get the opportunity to do that. And I think that would be maybe some Preds colors that no one else has on my stick or skates. I think that'd be really cool. For sure.
That's interesting that you bring that up. You know, in the NFL, that's been the new thing, right? Like especially coming out in warmups, like they come out with these specialized custom cleats. That would be cool on the NHL level to have like custom skates. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. I think that's just more, you know, I think that obviously I think it's a lot easier to make, you know, customized cleats and skates, but I think for the fans, like I think for people that, you know, look at that stuff, I think it's especially like young kids, right? I think it's cool to kind of see if everyone has their own style and see what guys are doing. Sometimes guys have, like, I feel like that, like Odell has like these bright cleats on all the time. And it's like, I feel like a lot of guys could do that with their skates. I think that'd be a cool thing to look, you know, for guys to, I think guys would have a lot of fun with it. And I think a lot of the young kids especially would like that just because it would kind of show everyone's personality. Right. So that's hopefully something for the near future as well. So,
hey, you were really nice to do this on this rainy Friday on St. Patrick's Day. Really appreciate it. Go have some dad time. Go kick some butt tomorrow against Winnipeg and keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that is Phil Tomasino here on the Predators Official Podcast. When we come back, we'll answer some hashtag AskPOP questions. We will do that next here on the POP. Rolling along on this St. Patrick's Day here on the Predators Official Podcast. Hope everybody's having a fun day, a fun Friday. Darren McFarland and Kara Hammer. We had fun with Phil Tomasino, and we appreciate him joining us. I really like him a lot. And I think it's, you know, we've had these conversations here on the POP, just dealing with the adversity, right? And we had Cody Glass on, and what it was like to, you know, he's been having to deal with the adversity, then gets told, hey, you've made the team. You're going to Europe with us. And we had what that experience was like. Then here's a guy in Phil Tomasino who was a first round pick by this organization, and he played all last season. And this year he was told out of camp, hey, we're going to send you back to Milwaukee, continue your development. We need you to get better and then come back. And I thought that was interesting when I said, hey, what they tell you need to work on. And usually that's what it is with young guys. At least that's the way I feel in the conversations I've had with coaches and front office people, Kara, in the past. Usually the young guys, it's more about, because look, if they get drafted high, you know they can score if they're a forward, right? That's why they've been drafted in the first round. But that two-way game, right? The full length of the ice, if they can, they can also defend, if they can do things, you know, it's a 200-foot game. Can you play at both ends? And that's usually what I think young guys have to deal with the most in developing both ends of the ice. Do you agree?
I agree. I also feel like it's got to be hard for him, you know, to be up here and then go back down and play Milwaukee. But it's like when we had Barry Trotz on the podcast and he said, why have a top six forward up if he's not going to play in a top six role? Let him be down in Milwaukee, grow his game, you know, and look where Phil's at now. He's back up in Nashville and he's on the top line.
Yeah.
So it's working out the way it's meant to be.
Yeah. That's a really good point. You're right. Barry did tell us that here on the Predators Official Podcast, where he said, hey, if you're going to have young guys up, don't bury them on the fourth line, you know, but if they're not going to play top 6 minutes, then what's the point? By the way, Phil played his most minutes this season. He logged over 20 minutes last night against Chicago. So you can tell, look, if a coaching staff isn't comfortable with you, they're not playing you 20 minutes, even if you are on the top line, right? You'll miss some shifts. You will, if you're not doing something right or they're not comfortable with you, they don't trust you, you're not playing over 20 minutes in a game. And that was the case for Phil last night, which tells me that he is doing the things he's supposed to do and the coaching staff trust him.
He looks comfortable.
Yeah.
And it just kind of goes back to what we talked about at the very first part of this podcast about this core group. They're playing together. They have familiarity. Things are clicking.
What did you make of the young guys? The older guys, the vets who, you know, when these young guys come into the room, who takes them under their wings? You brought up Luke Evangelista telling us last week that Matt Duchene kind of did that with him. What did you think of what Tomasino said?
I think it speaks volumes, you know, and Tomasino didn't just point out Matt Duchene. He said it was Ryan Johansson. He said it was Philip Forsberg. That these veterans are taking these younger guys in under their wings, I think it speaks volumes to who these players are, leading them along the way, encouraging them, talking to them. Oftentimes, you know, if you're watching the game and they shoot to the bench, you see them talking on the bench. I sometimes following a game, I'll see two guys walking together and a veteran and a young player and just going over things that they saw on the ice. And I think that's encouraging because it shows that it's a team. There's teamwork.
You know what's something else we've talked about a lot since we've been doing this? That first home game coming off a road trip. Remember, we talked about that last week and how tricky that Detroit game would be. And you know what? They dug deep and they found a way to win. I would say portions of that game, it was not their best stuff, but they found a way to win. And that is always a tough game to coming back, especially from a road trip like that one, and logging, that was their first home game this month, and they came away with 2 points.
It was almost kind of like that first game came against Chicago.
Yeah,
it right. had a little bit.
It ended
of
up happening right. They flipped the script yeah. right, and it was last night instead of Tuesday night. Yeah, that's a good point. That's what last night did feel like. It felt like the game coming off the long road trip, unfortunately, and that maybe that is probably the challenging part for John Hines and his coaching staff, with all that youthfulness and with all that energy and newness, for all the good, then you also have to, because that is the biggest challenge, right? To stay in this league is to fight through the day, you know, the ups and downs of a long season and the grind night in and night out at this level where you're playing against the best players in the world on Tuesday night, and then you have to turn around and do it again on Thursday night. And yes, you can look at Chicago in the standings and say, well, yeah, but it's the Blackhawks. They're not very good. They're still the best players in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Coach Hines, very rarely does he address a team after a loss. And last night he said he did talk to the group, and it was because of the young players, and he wanted to go over and just kind of resettle things and get back on track. And so I thought that was interesting that I think everybody understands where this team is at right now. They're in a dogfight, and Saturday against Winnipeg is a big game. And I'm not surprised that he went and talked to these young players about what needs to happen.
Yeah. You want to do some questions?
Let's do it.
Hashtag ask POP. Remember, chance to win tickets to an upcoming game, get an autographed item. Susan won last week. She chose tickets to a game. She will be at the second to last home game on the regular season. Boy, I wonder what will be on the line for that one against Minnesota. Remember the last game, if you haven't looked at the schedule, that Friday night against Colorado, that is the makeup game that's been added on there at the very end. So that Minnesota game was supposed to be the final regular season home game, but that'll be game 81 on their schedule, and Susan asked a question. We read it, we answered it, and she won tickets. So keep those questions coming in. Hashtag ask POP. And look, let's just go on and say this before we get to the questions, Kara. A lot of the questions are, we brought this up with Phil Tomasino about, you know, the young guys and the difference they're making on this team. So we've kind of already addressed all of that. But some of the other questions are about, you know, what do you think Barry Trotz is going to do, you know, especially with this team winning? How will that change things for John Hines? Or how do you think? A lot of coaching questions. Like, I think it's impossible for us to answer that right now. One, the regular season hasn't played out. We don't know what's going to happen, right? So much could happen. What if they get in? What if they win a round or two? What if they do? Whatever happens, everything changes. It's kind of like David Poyle, who was saying week by week, right? Like, I'm just literally evaluating this team game by game, week by week, leading up to the deadline, and that'll determine what we do. Well, when it comes to Barry Trotz taking over after the draft as the new general manager, that'll be the same. That'll be the case for him on his evaluation on what to do with that coach. So that's an impossible question to ask. I understand why people are asking it. And they're not saying, hey, you need to make a coaching change. They're saying, hey, what does this run do? Or what will this do? How will Barry assess the coach? We don't know. We've never seen Barry in a front office role. So I don't know what Barry Trotz is thinking on that end. Okay, with that being said, Kara, let's get some questions in here. Are we ready?
We're ready.
We both know Robbie Stanley, by the way. You know.
The future man. Girl dad. Go, Robbie.
There we go. Do you know he submitted a question for hashtag SBOP? He said, Robbie Stanley, who we love and adore, is McHammer the best nickname for this podcast? McHammer is the best nickname for a podcasting duo of all time. Yes or no? That was his question. Man, by the way,
yeah, it's a pretty good name.
That's the first anybody said McHammer. I don't know. I guess going back to, remember we had fun with Luke Evangelista on what should his fan base be called? Evangelist. By the way, he told me Wednesday, he said, that's as good as I can think of. He's like, let's go with it. He's like, if I have a fan base, let's go with that.
That's hilarious.
So
now I got to know with the nickname, I have to know what would be on your goalie mask.
Okay, so we got to get to that. Okay, so Robbie, by the way, for now, we'll go with McCameron. We like that. Okay, so let's go back to Nolan's question, which I thought was really interesting. And it was, we posed this to Tomasino. So I'm going to start with you. Nolan's question was, if you could customize your own goalie mask, what would be on it? Kara Hammer.
Okay, well, I would definitely have my daughter somewhere involved. Family. I kind of like Phil's with the family. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the Steamboat. I went to the University of Wyoming, so a little love to my alma mater.
Okay. I like it. Anything else?
And then I would have to think about the rest. Probably, you know what? An American flag, for sure.
Okay. I like where your head is at. I don't have a whole lot. So anything, like, you know, a lot of, you know, Chris Mays, music, you know, anything, any music interests that you have, like any favorite bands or anything that you would put on there? Any music flavor?
Well, you know, my all-time favorite song probably is Van Morrison, Into the Mystic. I don't know why.
Okay.
So that's maybe a jam, but I feel like that's not like a sports song. I need some like AC/DC, like
Thunderstruck.
Some like some Aussie. Yeah. Good things going here.
Okay, along those themes, and I'll do a little Metallica, you know, Inner Sandman somewhere on mine.
Okay.
Because like you said, if you've got to be, you know, if you got to be pumped up, then okay, we're going to roll with that. I've got to have my son, got to have the wife on there, got to have the family involved in this. Growing up in Kentucky, I guess I got to have, maybe I have the Cool Cats on there.
Kara. The Cool Cats.
I probably have to have the Cool Cats on there somewhere, right? That's where the hockey journey began. A little homage. But I feel
I just have to know, is this Cool Cats with a C or like Cool Cats with a K? Like, is it K-O-O-L-K-A-T-S?
It was K-O-O-L-K-A-T-S. Cool Cats with K's. And I'd have to get Jeff Rouse's permission to put his name on my helmet. Maybe we could get it sponsored by Delta.
Yes, the McHammer sponsored by Delta.
So that was a really cool question. I like that. We'll have to keep incorporating Nolan's question into the POP because I think that is, you know, with our guests, I think that's a fun one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Ricky. asked kind of what we've already addressed. So I was going to, I had it on the list, but we've kind of already, he said, do you think this the way the Preds are playing right now kind of goes hand in hand with the pressure being off and kind of the burden lifted, some, you know, the young guys in there, and it's just giving them new life. I think we've kind of already addressed that one, right? I think we all agree with that. There's a lot of components. And a new boss. I threw that one in there, too.
Yeah.
Everybody always perks up.
I think this was the best question that we need to answer. And it was from Corey in Tennessee. Corey in 10. If you could travel back in time and bring back one former Pred in their prime to play on this team now, who would you pick? And why?
Oh, I love this one too. I love it. So, Kara, who do you think I would choose? I'm going to ask you. Who do you think I would choose?
Somebody more current.
You think I would choose somebody more current?
Mm-hmm.
But at times I come off as kind of like an old geezer on this pod. So why wouldn't you? I would thought you would have said maybe, you know. Well, the old school.
You know, I could see you bringing like Jordan Tutu, you know, like he was kind of here in his prime. Oh, yeah. So.
That's actually a good one. Actually, that would be on my list. That would be on my list, but he is not my answer. That is a good one, though. Toots. In fact, we need to get Toots here on the POP.
Yeah.
He is one of my all-time favorites.
All right. So who is your player?
My player, Kara Hammer, would be the former captain. Number 6, my all-time favorite. And I know you're not supposed to, you know, pick all-time favorites, but if I'm just being honest, Shea Weber was my all-time favorite, period.
All right.
He, you know, I enjoyed my time around Shea Weber. He was great to me, and I respected the heck out of him. And I thought, and remember that Corey said in his prime, too, there was nobody better than Shea Weber in his prime. And I hope he gets in the Hall of Fame. I really do. I hope he gets to Toronto. I think he belongs. Okay. But again, I'm very biased. I understand. But my answer, hands down, would be Shea Weber, even though there's a lot of good, you know, great answers. You know, you joked with me. I thought you were going to bring up Peter Forsberg.
Well, that was like mine. You know, if you could bring back one player in their prime, so you're thinking one of the greatest players of all time.
Is that your answer?
You know, I'm a big fan of Peter Forsberg. Obviously, he had a shortened season here in Nashville. I think he was injured most of the time. So not, you know, somebody you would put, when you think of Peter Forsberg, you don't think about the Nashville Predators, right?
Yeah.
So, one player I did always enjoy covering is Cody McLeod.
Oh, nice. Cody was the best.
Just a great guy, you know? The way he energized the locker room, you know, Lavi had him doing the pregame speeches, the postgame speeches, just because he brought this life to the room.
Yeah, he was another one. Great guy. Everybody loved Cody McLeod, right? Mm-hmm. So much they brought him back twice. So clearly your answer was a good one. Peter Forsberg, and this is awkward to say, but he was also dreamy. I'm just saying, I could see, like, other girls had to love. They have to love Peter Forsberg. I hosted a show with Darcy Hordachuk, and his special guest, Kara is looking at me like, what in the world is happening to you? Peter Forsberg was his guest. He has incredible eyes. You can get lost in his eyes. It's amazing. But he also came in like a rock star. He was a rock star. But he was down to earth.
I feel like he is still a rock star.
No,
he dresses
I know.
Like a rock star. I mean, he's the guy.
He walks the walk and he talks the talk, of course. But he was also really nice, really genuine. He wasn't, you know, the kind where, you know, looking down upon, not at all. But he was that night, that show, you could not have shoehorned another person into that place at Blackstone Brewery, which doesn't exist anymore. That place was packed. It was crazy. They had to bring Peter Forsberg in through the kitchen. They couldn't even bring him in the front entrance. There were too many people.
I've heard stories about when these guys go back home of having to go in secret doors or have you know, fake cars and because of their celebrity status.
Yeah. All right. I think we should end on that. Clearly, I've lost my mind and you're looking at me like, what's happened to you? It's St. Patrick's Day, okay? I'll blame it on green beer that I haven't had, but I'll just blame it on the green beer. That'll do it for us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Kara Hammer, at Kara Hammer, at @DMAC_NashSports. Submit those questions, #AskPOP. These were really good questions. We'll get a winner. You can either win tickets or an autographed item. Appreciate Phil Tomasino for joining us. Of course, Patton Cook, always spinning the dials. Doing a great job. That will do it for us. Hope you enjoy this episode, and we will talk to you next week here on the Predators Official Podcast.